Shalom, shalom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oops. Shalom, shalom, and welcome to another broadcast. This is Rabbi John Atkins, and I want to welcome you to another Hebraic journey through the Bible broadcast. And I'm extremely excited about this one because we're coming to a summit, and in the next 30 minutes, me, of course, being one of your co-hosts, we're going to begin to really discuss and really get down to some rudimental understandings and supernatural manifestations of the question that was asked. Now, most of you know that I am a Messianic pastor. I am a Messianic rabbi, if you will. And this whole broadcast is centered around our quest, which is to reveal the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths that we're searching for and that we're seeking after are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship, not only with our Heavenly Father, but also with our Savior, Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. Now, at this time, I have the awesome pleasure to also introduce the second half, or the second part, if you will, of that co-host theme that I gave you as far as that is concerned. And this is, most of you know her very well, Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say it's truly a blessing to be able to share the word of God, Yah. This is our 46th show, and we're going to continue to answer the question about how the items in the tabernacle pertain to us reaching a place of worship with Yah. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
All right. You're welcome. And I'll start us off by introducing the main speaker that most of you are aware of, and that is the Holy Spirit. And Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we just honor you. We respect you. We give the floor to you and to the Holy Spirit. Yahushua, Jesus, we ask that you abide and abound within and through and around us and those that are listening now. We ask for forgiveness for sin, for iniquity, for transgression. We thank you, Father, that you give us the strength and the power, not our own strength, not our own might, but by way of your Spirit. We thank you that you allow us to be able to have that strength to forgive those who have sinned against us and our families, caused iniquity and transgression against us and our families. Father, I thank you that that even as we're getting ready to do this broadcast, there are supernatural happenings that are happening all around those that are listening. And that as they begin to ignite and trigger their faith into what they may hear that resonates with the Holy Spirit within them and around and about them, that will begin to change their destiny, begin to cause them to fulfill and to begin to see that much more of where and how they are to step into the fullness of why they were even birth on this earth. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for just you, not just your word, not just your power, but you. Father, help us to see you through all of the blessings and all of the things that you're doing for and with us. Help us to make sure that we keep the precedence where it needs to be, the focus where it needs to be, and that's you. So with that, Father, we just open this up and we allow you to have your way. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen. Well, with that prayer, I'm going to pass this back to Evangelist Tanita, and if she could kind of get us up to speed and just kind of give us an overview of where we are up into this particular broadcast.
Okay. And so we're continuing from last week again, as stated, how can we relate the items in the tabernacle to our worship with Yah now and how to meet him. And so where you were talking about were the three items. The third item that you were going into detail about was the altar of incense. And you took us to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and that's dealing with the groanings and moanings of the Holy Spirit making intercession for the saints. You were letting us know that there's a part that none of us are innocent of when it comes to this aspect. And that part is, are we are not ready for Yah, Yahushua, or an angel of the Lord to show up. And in this, you were letting us know, and you were showing us examples of how this will affect us when we're believing answers for prayer. One of the things was you talked about not going through the emotions of worship. And we went to Luke chapter 1, verse 11, and that is, you were pointing out Zacharias, John's father, how he was not ready. But you told us, you said, we should be expected, be impregnated. Our mind, heart should be on expecting, to be expecting, because the Father lays up new mercies in the Holy of Holies. Every day we should be expecting. Expect the supernatural manifestation to happen every day. You also continue to show that when we're not expecting, like Zacharias, sometimes we, and we're going through the emotions, we're not ready for that divine time or moment. But Yah wants us to have, he wants to have an encounter with us. And because of the way Zacharias reacted, he missed that moment. We also went to Acts chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, where you were showing us Peter, on the other hand, was ready. Not only was he ready, but he listened to the instruction of an angel of the Lord, and he followed that instruction. You also wanted us to know that our prayers, when our prayers are being answered, light the altar of incense. And there are two options in which we will react. We will either be put into a state of silence or a state of praise and worship. And then you also went back to Luke chapter 2, verse 9, where you were pointing out the people were greatly afraid. Our reaction can abort our destiny. We need to take heed to this warning that our faith is running out, and we need our faith tank to be refilled by Yah. And so I hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. That was an excellent synopsis. Now I'm going to pick it up right there with the aspect of the faith tank being energized and strengthened. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to be doing a little bit more scriptural teaching this time than before, and it's only because I really sense in my spirit that Yah is really wanting us to really get a scriptural foundation, so that as we begin to launch out in the faith walk, in the faith talk, and in the faith move, that we're launching out on substance. We're launching out on the Word. We're stepping out of the boat, if you will, on the Word and not on the water. Okay, amen? Because we know that Kiefer, in the Hebrew, that he stepped out on the Word of Yah, the word of Yahushua, the word of Jesus was come, because Peter said, if that be you, beckon me to come, and he said, come. He stepped out onto that word come and stayed on that word every step, not until he got close to Yeshua, as most of us have been taught, or some of us have been taught, but he was right beside Yeshua. In other words, he had reached his destiny. He had reached his destiny. And I feel the Holy Spirit wanted me to go here for a while, so we're going to park here for just a second. Peter reached his destiny. And a lot of times we're not taught that. We're not explained to the fact that he reached to where he was within touching distance of Yeshua. He was within touching distance. And then his faith fell. He did not have faith to make it back with Jesus, because they still had to go back to the boat that they had just left. When Peter began to entrust Yeshua to call him forth, that was only enough faith, focused faith, to be where Jesus was. And this is important for us. Because when we're worshiping, we're not worshiping so that we can just be with him. We're worshiping so that when we are with him, that we understand what our next assignment is. It's not just a fellowship with him. It is to fulfill the assignment that we have here on earth. When Peter said, "Beckon that I come to you," that was only half of what Yeshua had for him. When we look at and we begin to get a picture of this, then it begins to make sense when we then go from this passage of Scripture to Genesis chapter 15. And, of course, most of you probably already kind of know where I'm going and probably even know the biblical characters that are going to be discussed here. And of course, the main biblical character in Genesis 15 is Abraham. Okay, now, of course, in Genesis 15, his name was not Abraham, but Abram. His name had not changed yet. His name had not changed yet. Now, why is this passage of Scripture important? This passage of Scripture is important because when we begin to worship and begin to fellowship with Yah and tabernacle with Yeshua and just engross ourselves in the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh, we need to not just bask in his presence. That's fantastic. Oh, man, it's great. It's awesome. But then we will find ourselves, if we're not careful, being just like Peter was, when he only had enough faith to connect with Jesus. Not that his faith ran out, but his faith was only focused on his desire. The same faith would have gotten him to and fro, but his desire was only to go to. As we're worshiping, as we're understanding the tabernacle of worship, as we're understanding ourselves and the way we've been created by him as a tabernacle that worships, let's make sure that we understand that the desire must not be just to go to, but to go to and fro, to have the relationship, hallelujah, but also to fulfill the mandate. We all have a mandate. We all have a purpose. We all have a chiastic structure. And worship is not the end all. It's the empowering all for the end. I'm going to say that again. Worship is not the end all. Some of us really believe that just being in worship is the end all. No, 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 no. We've missed it. It's not the end all. It's the empowering all for the end. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 through 6, we get a picture here of Abraham being not only equipped, but being built up, and his desire, it's not just his faith, but his desire to fulfill all that needs to be fulfilled is being reinstated to him. So let's listen as Evangelist Tanita Jones reads this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through about 6. Okay?
Okay. All right. I'm reading the New King James Version, and this is chapter 15, verse, starting at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6, then he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness.
Now, it's important that we understand a few things before we go any further. The accounting for righteousness is just like an accountant or a CPA or a banker who is accepting your deposit towards a certain amount that needs to be taken care of. So when you make a deposit, that deposit is not the full amount, but it is towards that full amount, and it begins to lower the needed balance that is necessary for that full amount. When you begin to look at this in the Hebrew, one of the things that you begin to see is that this was just like, for example, if an individual hit a home run, okay? Just because he hit a home run, you don't just count the point on the scoreboard, although we oftentimes do that. If that individual, for whatever reason, within the legal understanding of the rules, doesn't run or walk or skip or hop and make it all the way through and touch every single base before he touches home, then the run doesn't count, even though he hit the ball over the fence. Now, this is important for us to understand because when he touches first base, that accounts, if you will, for one of the prerequisites that is necessary to officially say it's a home run. So in the father's understanding of what he's trying to get Abraham to see, or Abram, excuse me, in this aspect, to see, is that you have what you've asked for, but you have not finished running the bases in order to accomplish and receive in the manifestational world of this entity, of this world, what you've asked for. Let me show you and give you a better understanding of that. We're going to go from here to Genesis chapter 17 and start reading at Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And what this will do is this will begin to give you a real clear understanding, very clear, that for whatever reason, Abram did not run all the bases. And it didn't happen until after chapter 17. Now, chapter 15, he was given opportunity to be recalibrated in the faith walk. Because when the father took him outside and began to cast a vision of an understanding to build his faith through looking at the stars and saying, if you can count them, then hey, you know, you're good. And he realized, he being Abram, realized, there's no way I can count all these. But yet the father said that my offspring are going to be more than these. That was to build Abram's faith. That was to ensure Abram that he not only had to come and have a relationship with the Father, which he did, because remember, Yah appeared to him and began to speak with him, no different than Peter, who made it to Yeshua. But unlike Peter, the Father is saying to Abram, you've got to now continue your faith until the manifestation happens. Because you have a relationship with me, or else I wouldn't be appearing to you. But you also have a mission and a call that you have to fulfill. So when we get to Genesis chapter 17, what we begin to realize is there's a lot of activity that happened between chapter 15 and chapter 17. A lot of needless activity, which we all have issues in our own lives where there's needless activity that begin to hinder the timing and the purpose and the call and the manifestation of what Yah is wanting for us to do. Because it is a walk of faith. And when we walk away from faith and we walk away from the call, we walk away from our destiny, then we, just like Abraham, have a chapter 16 where he went into Hagar, changed the conditions of what the father said as far as where the baby was going to come from, and then began a lifelong, generation after generation, stumbling block through this seed that he created, that he brought forth. So in Genesis chapter 17, we're going to start with verse 1, and we'll read. I may interrupt just a little bit. I'm just giving you a forewarning, just because each verse has some tremendous truths in it. So we'll just go verse by verse, okay?
Oh, okay. Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceeding."
Yeah, let me. I'm sorry. Let's stop there, and then I'm going to pick it back up on the verse by verse that I was saying before. And I'm sorry for not connecting with you on that. So we go back up to verse 1. And it says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old." Okay. Now what's important to understand was that Abram was in his 80s. He was in his 80s when the father appeared to him in Genesis chapter 15. He was in his 80s. Okay? As a matter of fact, it states that he, Abram, was around 86 years old, and we know that because the son that he ended up having in chapter 16, he is now in chapter 17 getting ready to get circumcised after this dissertation with God. Ishmael is getting ready to get circumcised at age 13. So when you backtrack age 13 from him being 99 years old, he had to have been 86 years old. So that means for 13 years, Abram was not walking blameless. Abram had derailed the call and purpose of what the word was, of the word that was given to him back in Genesis 15. He had intimacy with Yah. He appears to him. That's worship. But what we do with our worship determines our destiny. Too often we have an encounter with God when we worship, when we get before him. Now we're still talking about the furniture. Remember that. And now we're talking about the altar of incense. Because in the altar of incense is when you have, in most cases, it's when you have that divine appointment with Yah, the divine appointment with Yeshua. Because remember, Yeshua is in that tent of meeting. He's inside there. But now you're getting ready to have an encounter with God shortly thereafter. And that is when, in your worship and in your intimacy, that's when God begins to speak to you. I'm not talking about Yeshua now. That's when the Father begins to speak to you. Because the Father knows that there's a veil between you and him. And the Father wants me to make sure that I do what is necessary so that I can pierce through the veil and reach the end goal of the mercy seat. and the relationship with Yah, with the Father himself. And just before that, there are explicit instructions that we need to make sure that we have heard from the Father and that we are being obedient and submitted to him at that point. Because when that veil is rent, there is no opportunity to be apologetic. When the power hits you from the Father. So one of the things here that we have to understand with the very first verse is that the Father is saying to him at age 99 and appears to him and he says, you need to walk before me blameless. There's still a veil between you and I. It's your protection, but there's still a veil. And then he begins to reiterate what was already told to him that needed to happen. Because Isaac has not been born yet. So in verse 2 he says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now, understand this. The Father is not even acknowledging that what Abraham did after worship was even of him. Did you get that? Evangelist Tina, did you see that? He is not even acknowledging. After you've had worship and you've praise and all of that, and then you go out to start your day, and you do wrong. He's not acknowledging the fruit of that wrongness, because the fruit of that wrongness is Ishmael. He's that fruit. He is not even acknowledging him. He knows that he exists, but he's not acknowledging him. When we get into worship, we need to make sure that we commit our all to fulfilling what is necessary in order for the veil to be rent. Verse 3, and Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, now Abraham falling on his face is an indication of, hey, I was wrong. It's an indication of repentance. It's an indication of, you know what, I know you told me in chapter 15, and, you know, regardless of what the situation was with me and Sarah, you know, I chose. It wasn't just Sarah who chose. She gave options, but I knew in chapter 15 what I was supposed to do, and I chose wrong right after worship, right after intimacy, right after relationship time with you. It was me that chose that and not her. And now I have to submit to you and ask forgiveness, even though it's there and even though it's something that we have to deal with. Then verse 4, and it says, as for me, who's saying as for me? Yah saying this.
Yeah.
Behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of many nations. In other words, my covenant for the last 13 years has been following you around, waiting to manifest itself based upon your obedience. Worship is not enough. It's necessary, but it's not enough. Worship without obedience is not holy worship. It's not the holy of holy worship that gets us into the most inner court and fulfill the destiny that's called for us to fulfill. I'm going to stop there, and Evangelist Tanita, if you could tell individuals how they can reach us and get more information if they so desire.
Amen. Wow. Let me get to you. I really got caught up. Amen. Praise y'all. And I look forward to our next show. So our show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email us your questions at office@bethesham.org. That is O-F-F-I-C-E at the at symbol B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M.org. Our ministry is Bethesham Ministries, and there are two websites in which you can research us. The first one is www.bethesham.org. And then we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you could email us at Bethesham@yahoo.com for directions. Also, for those that desire a more in-depth study, we have Rule College, and you can email us at office@Bethesham.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we're just awestruck with the fact that obedience has to be an ingredient that we can't do without, regardless of the worship and the intimacy and the joy and the glory of you that comes upon us, the Shekinah that happens. None of that is worth anything if we don't couple it with the obedience of fulfilling the purpose and the call for why we're here. So, Abba, we ask you that you begin to ignite us with purpose through our obedience. Allow our purpose to be so enriched because we are obedient to fulfill and to do that which you have commanded. We bless your name, we glorify you, we honor you, we submit to you, and we allow you to have your way in our lives. And we thank you in Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.